This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get you set up for Sunday afternoon. Bills traveling down to South Florida to take on the Miami Dolphins. Cameron Wolf covers the Dolphins for ESPN's NFL Nation, and he joins us now in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Cam, how are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Cam, we're wondering which Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to show up this weekend here. But I guess we'll kind of ask you the question like this. When do we see the start of the era of Tua Tagovailoa in Miami?
Yeah, I think that's the question all the Dolphins fans want to know, too. I don't think you'll see it anytime this week. I think that, you know, they're continuing to let him cultivate, to grow, so to speak. They're comfortable with his health, which was the biggest thing. You know, the first step for him was to show that he was healthy after that, you know, devastating hip injury. And now he's just trying to catch up on the offense and being an NFL quarterback in a shortened offseason, especially as a rookie. So I think that you'll see him at some point in 2020. But it's probably going to be generated based on how Ryan Fitzpatrick plays. And once they feel like he's doing too much to knock them for them to compete for a playoff spot, then I think you'll see Tua.
Cameron Wolf covers the Dolphins for ESPN's NFL Nation. Cameron, you know, did the Dolphins do Tua a bit of a disservice in bringing in Chan Gailey to be the offensive coordinator? We know his history with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it makes a lot of sense if you want Fitzpatrick to be your quarterback this year and potentially next year. But let's face it, I mean, Tua is going to be there longer than Chan Gailey, and when Chan Gailey leaves, Tua is going to have to learn another offensive coordinator system.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point because we were all surprised, you know, down here in Miami when they hired Chan Gailey. You know, Gailey, as you guys know, up in Buffalo, he had been, you know, elsewhere, but he had been out of the league for 3 years. You know, he had retired. He said he'd been playing golf and going to his kids, you know, after school events. So he was done with football. And Brian Flores, you know, hand selected him and he kind of explained it to us. He felt like as a teacher, Chan Gailey was the perfect fit for him. He felt like he was a guy who could teach players in a way that most offensive coaches can't. And he felt like he would simplify the offense. They had a very complex Patriot-style offense last year, and a lot of the young players really struggled to grasp it. So he felt like, obviously, the Ryan Fitzpatrick connection played in there, but also for Tua, they felt like it would be easier transition to maybe learn his style offense rather than something that was more complex. But I think your point is fair. You know, Chan Gailey maybe, you know, has a year or two, maybe 3 years. At some point, Tua's going to have a new OC. But I think the Dolphins' plan, ideally, is to groom somebody in-house so that transition is a little smoother than bringing somebody from outside.
We all like to overreact to week one, but Miami only 11 points offensively last week at New England. So what went wrong in that game on that side of the ball? What are they talking about fixing this week against Buffalo, Cameron?
Yeah, honestly, just being transparent, I think they got outcoached in a lot of different ways. I think when you look at just how they played that game, there's a lot of unknown about what the Patriots offense was going to look like and what the Patriots defense was going to look like. And I think they got taken out of what the Dolphins wanted to do early. You know, their base run game was kind of spoiled by the Patriots sending a lot of exotic looks. They have a really young offensive line, the Dolphins do, with two new rookie starters there. And I think the Patriots just did a lot of confusing things up front. So that forced the Dolphins to be reactionary versus being proactive. So I think you saw them sort of playing on their heels offensively and not really having a rhythm. So I think this week the key is going to be being able to create the rhythm, create that offense they want to have. And a lot of that's being able to run the ball effectively in early downs. And, you know, they've got Devontae Parker, who's been banged up with a hamstring injury. But if he ends up playing, then, you know, the bulk of their offense is throwing those deep balls to him and Preston Williams on the outside, coupled with a downhill running game.
Cameron Wolf, Dolphins reporter for ESPN NFL Nation, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Cam Newton and the Patriots' run game absolutely shredded this Dolphins defense. And while Josh Allen was able to get some yards with his feet last week against the Jets, he also was pretty effective against the air. Do you anticipate that you'll see the Bills try to run the ball more against this Dolphins defense? I mean, rational coaching would dictate that that's the game plan, right, Cam?
Yeah, I imagine if the Bills saw the same tape that I saw, they're going to run the ball as much as they can, because the Dolphins haven't proved they can stop a nosebleed. So, I mean, I think you just got to make them prove to you that they're better in that area. And it's funny, we talked to Brian Flores about it this week, and he talked about the Bills receivers, and he lathered them with praise and said he feels like they have one of the best receiver groups in the NFL, and he thinks they're going to be challenged more. And I'm like, man, that's really wishful thinking. If I'm the Bills, I'm not challenging you much with those corners. I'm challenging you with the run game and seeing if you can stop us, particularly on the edge. You know, the Dolphins really, really struggle to contain Cam Newton in that zone read. And I know the Bills don't want their franchise quarterback taking a ton of licks, but I think they would have a lot of success running Josh Allen and running those zone reads if they had that in their scheme.
Cameron, I'm not sure if you're aware of the Bills' injury report. They have some problems at linebacker right now. So Matt Milano, outside linebacker, did not practice again today. And with the hamstring, that doesn't look too certain, to say the least. Probably not going to play. Tremaine Edmonds, their middle linebacker, again, limited today, red non-contact jersey. So as far as working the middle of the field, what do the Dolphins have here? Is that an area you think Miami might be able to exploit this week?
Yeah, they really want to run the ball up the middle of the field with Jordan Howard. He's their power back. They brought him in this offseason from Philadelphia. They really tried to get that going early in the first quarter against the Patriots, and it just didn't work. You know, Jordan Howard had 8 carries all in the first quarter, and he didn't touch the ball again after that because he only had 7 yards. So I think, if the Bills linebackers are a little light this week because of injury, you look for the Dolphins to try to attack them with that run game really in the power. And I think they've been doing a lot with their receivers. They don't have a true slot receiver, but they've been moving their receivers around to try to make them effective in the middle of the field, you know, playing a Devontae Parker in the slot, moving their tight end Mike Gesicki, who's really a big receiver, moving him in the slot and trying to get that action. You may see more of that if they feel like they have an advantage over the Bills in the middle of the field.
Cam Wolf, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Dolphins in the Sports Bar. If there's a strength to this Dolphins team, Cam, would you say it's their secondary? And what, if the Bills do determine that they want to try and test out that Miami secondary, what are they up against here?
Yeah, no, you're right on the money. They spent a ton of money investing in that secondary, which is why they were probably disappointed that the Patriots ran the ball 42 times last week. They didn't really get to show it off. You know, they paid Byron Jones $17 million a year this offseason. You know, Xavier Howard is returning, and he's taking $15.5 million. And they drafted a cornerback in the first round in Noah Igbinogene. So that's no doubt the strongest unit of their team. And I think they would love the matchup against the Bills. I think they really respect the Bills receivers, but they feel like they can play a lot of man coverage, and they feel like they can beat anybody man-to-man with their cornerback group. The problem is the rest of their defense isn't really up to snuff to play, you know, one-on-one against most teams. So I think if I was the Bills, you may want to take a few shots to keep them honest, but your most of your success is going to be, hitting them in the run game and attacking their front seven.
Cameron, before we get your thoughts on how you think this game might play out, I'm just curious, what is life like down in Miami? Because fans at games, and correct me if I'm wrong, this will be the first time a sporting event in Miami because the Marlins haven't had fans. What is that going to be like? How many people are there? Just what is it like in your corner of the country right now as we all go through this pandemic?
Yeah, it's actually the second. You know, the University of Miami plays at Hard Rock Stadium. They had a game there this past week. It'll be the first pro game for sure. And I think it's weird because, you know, Miami had been a lot of eyeballs on them because they've sort of been an epicenter of the coronavirus. You know, we all saw the Marlins outbreak. So a lot of people were, like, surprised when the Dolphins didn't even have fans. But, you know, their team CEO, Tom Garfinkel, he's had a plan to kind of put everything together. They feel really comfortable with their plan. You know, it's going to be 13,000 fans there this week. So I know Sean McDermott's not in love with the idea of having fans there, as he alluded to earlier in the season. But I don't think, honestly, it'll make a huge impact on the noise level of the stadium. But I think it will be intriguing just to see just how the new normal fits and how a home game looks when it's only, you know, 15% of the crowd compared to, you know, 0 or 100.
Cam, you had the chance to see New England. I want to kind of deviate from this matchup and talk a little bit more about the AFC East in general. You know, because you have fresh eyes on the Patriots, new-look Patriots with Cam Newton, and we know what he did on the ground, 75 yards. I mean, what are your takeaways about the New England Patriots? Is this still their division to lose?
You know, going into the season, I thought the Bills were the favorites to win the division. I thought the Patriots were close second. You know, and it's just week one, so I'm not going to overreact and change my idea, but I was actually really impressed with the Patriots simply because, you know, I thought they had a really vanilla offense, you know, and a lot of that's probably because Cam doesn't, you know, they're probably not fully comfortable with Cam and his knowledge of what they want to do as a passing team, but they were really vanilla. They ran a lot of the same plays and they were really effective with it. So it just kind of made me wonder, once they start getting more comfortable with Cam as a passer and he gets more comfortable playbook and they get a little bit more diversity in their offense, then they're going to be a tough challenge to stop. You know, I think Josh McDaniels has done a really good job of, you know, maybe pulling some of his Tim Tebow tape out and figuring out how to, you know, run an offense that way. So I actually think the Bills and Patriots need similar style teams where they're very good defensive teams. They have a quarterback that can run the ball effectively, and, you know, they really want to be a downhill running team. So I think it could go down the wire with the Patriots and the Bills in that division. And then ultimately, it's just going to come down to quarterback play. Can Josh Allen outplay Cam Newton on a given Sunday?
He's our guest, Cameron Wolf. He's in Miami covering the Dolphins, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. So let's look ahead to this week. And for any Bills fans to say, well, this shouldn't be a game, the Dolphins were winning up here last year when they were winless in the second half. So, Cameron, paint us a picture of how Miami would be able to win this game. What has to happen on their side of the ball?
Yeah, I think the key for them is going to be finding a way to, you know, be able to create offensive big plays. You know, that's something they didn't do at all last week. They didn't have one play more than 21 yards. I think they're going to have to get some chunk yards. And their way to do it is not necessarily by speed or separation. It's about, you know, getting the ball into their big receivers. So, you know, I know that the Bills are very confident in their corners, but I think the Dolphins are really going to have to take some shots, you know, taking some shots to Preston Williams or Devontae Parker if he's playing, and trying to create those big chunk yards. But on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to have to be better, you know, stopping the run and particularly the quarterback run. It's going to have to be an ugly game for the Dolphins to win. You know, I think, you know, the Bills and Dolphins probably want to play the same style, but if you're looking at a 2016 game where it comes down late, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a knack to sort of rally his team, you know, late games and find a way to pull wins out of horseshoe hats, you know. So I think that's, you know, your style to see a Dolphins win, you know, chunk plays on offense, you know, neutralizing the Bills in the run game and keeping things close so that Fitz can make a last minute drive to win the game at the end.
All right, Cameron, so that's what they have to do if they're going to win the game, but let's bug you for a prediction on the game. What do you actually think is going to happen?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go exactly that way. I think the Bills will win this, but I think it'll be, you know, maybe a low double-digit win. I think I predicted on ESPN 27-16. I think that's that flow of the game where the Dolphins will be sticking around most of the game into the fourth quarter, and then the Bills kind of put them away with their ability to just kind of run the ball on the ground. So I do think the Bills win this game rather comfortably, and they move to 2-0.
And your best guess about Tua, and when do you think Miami should contend for the playoffs? Is that this year or next year, beyond? What kind of timeline do you think?
Yeah, I think for Tua, I think, you know, they've got a week 10 or a week 11 bye. I think if Ron Fitzpatrick can keep the Dolphins in the playoff push, if they're, you know, 3-5, 4-5 through the first couple months of the season, I think he'll play for at least half of the year. And then maybe you look at a situation where, you know, in November sometime, they go ahead and go to Tua for the last, you know, maybe 6 to 8 games of the year. And then I guess as far as timeline, I've been calling people 2021 as more realistic as their year. to compete for the division, compete for a playoff spot. You know, I think they're more of a 7-9, 6-10 team this year. And then next year, as they get a full year or two, a full offseason with their young players and another draft, then you're looking for them, you know, right in the thick of things with the Bills and the Patriots for that AFC East. So I think next year is definitely a year you could circle with the Dolphins being a force to worry about.
Cameron, what do you got working right now at ESPN.com that our listeners can go and check out?
Yeah, you know, I talked a lot about it on this chat, but I wrote a story earlier this week about the Dolphins and stopping the running quarterback and just sort of things that I saw on tape about where they were highlighted and maybe where Josh Allen and the Bills can kind of attack them. So that story is on ESPN.com this week, and I always have a chat, you know, Thursday night, Howling with the Wolf chats, where I talk a lot of football and game plan stuff. So if fans want to check that out, it'll be 6 p.m. tonight on Twitter and Facebook Live.
It's funny how you picked up on the Sean McDermott not happy about the fans in Miami when this first came out. I mean, today, the quote from him, Miami, it's a great place to play. Cameron, I gotta tell you, Miami is great for a lot of things, okay? I don't know if, as far as football atmospheres in the NFL would be great there, but that's Sean McDermott trying to reverse course there on you.
Yeah, no billboard quote on game week. Trying to avoid bringing any sort of bad attention in that.
That's right. Cameron, it's great hearing your voice, man. Have a great time this weekend. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Cameron Wolf covering the Dolphins for ESPN's NFL Nation. You can read his work at ESPN.com.
Yeah. The building process still goes here. We have, what is going on?
Nothing. I just saw four cops just walk by our studio, just making sure that we're not going to be burned to the ground here anytime soon. We can move on.
Okay. Very good. It's not tight, quite Times Square, but if you find yourself down in the High Falls area,
chances are you're probably getting your senior pictures taken.
Yeah. That's now that there
engagement
are
engagement shots.
Right.
We're a very photogenic neighborhood.
Yeah. That's very artsy down here.
Even the wood has rust. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
When four cops came marching by and they were walking quick, I was like, oh, what is going on here?
All right. We're fine. Yeah. This is fine. Let's get to NFL appetizers in the sports bar. News and notes from around the NFL.
By the way, Cameron was great. That was,
of course, we
learned a lot there about the Dolphins. And yes, you shouldn't be worried. The Bills should take care of business. That was my takeaway.
Let's talk
about tonight. Do not poo-poo tonight. This is interesting. We'll set up for Bengals-Browns tonight. The Bills making a roster move. We've got a COVID-19 update for the league, and it looks pretty good. And Jets news, other things happening.
NFL appetizers on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.